Man, in the first service, I was a little bit out of sorts, and I'm like, oh, I'll nail it in the second service. And then I'm just out there getting coffee and chit-chatting, and you guys are, anyway. If you have a Bible with you, would you go ahead and open it up to Matthew chapter 28? It's the very last chapter in the book of Matthew. We just finished some of you in this room, read through the entire book of Matthew in the 40 days leading up to Easter. And so this is kind of review. But as Jesus, speaking of 40 days after Jesus rose from the grave, he met with his disciples outside of Jerusalem, and he shared what we call his Great Commission with them. And that's what the words that we find in Matthew chapter 28, all the way down in the last two verses of the chapter, verses 18 through 20. It says this: "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This morning is going to be an opportunity for us to have a really good firsthand look at how the Great Commission plays itself out in the life of a local church in the year 2025. Everything about Jesus's commissioning to his disciples who became the church, we're going to get a firsthand look at how this is supposed to work. And so I'm excited about that this morning because this is a day of celebration. We are going to be having a commissioning here, which means we are going to be sending somebody out. But we're also witnessing those who are taking the step of obedience in being baptized. But as you read the Great Commission of Jesus, some people feel like, well, this is Jesus giving the church its marching orders. It's him giving them their job description. But it's really far more than that. It's actually Jesus inviting us to join him in the work that he is already doing in the world. As we talked about the fact that the kingdom of heaven was breaking into the world, and this is how we get to be a part of that by being a part of the body of Christ. And this is the commissioning he gave to us. So this is not only a commissioning that he gave to his disciples 2,000 years ago, but it's a commissioning that continues to be the heartbeat of the local church. But I want you to just notice a few things about this before we kind of get into the main event this morning. First thing I'd like to notice is there's a beautiful word order that Jesus gives us in this passage. The first thing he tells us to do is to make disciples. I did it again. How did I do that? I thought I had that, so it all fit up there. Will you just pull that? Can you go into edit and pull that down? Because I really want those last words to be there. And I'll just talk, and they don't even know that we're struggling with anything. There, nobody's paying attention. Do you know what I mean? How to fix that? Okay. And then just hit it again, and it'll show up. So the first thing Jesus tells us to do is to make disciples. One of the things that people have often told me is, well, the command is to go. We're supposed to go and make disciples. And that makes people immediately think about global missions, people going overseas and, you know, people going to Africa and to, you know, South America and Indonesia and places far beyond, and making disciples in other countries. But in actuality, in the original language, the command is actually to make disciples. It's not the going part is kind of almost like as you are going. And so there's this understanding that some people are going to be local and some people are going to be global. And for some people, God calls people to go overseas. The easiest way I think about this is every Christian called to be a missionary to another country? No. But is every Christian called to share the gospel? Yeah. And so the question isn't so much as where you're going. It's, are you making disciples? And so that's the first thing. The first thing is to make disciples. And then he says this. He says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age. And sometimes I think we get this word order mixed up. Sometimes we think that people need to be spiritually mature, that they need to be a finished product before we baptize them. But that's not what Jesus said. What we need to understand is that baptism is not the finish line. It is not the graduation ceremony for your faith, but it is actually the starting line. Baptism is really a proclamation, a declaration of your trust in Jesus, that you're going to follow him. And it's what identifies us with Christ. And so it's the starting place of our relationship. And then after that, we teach people to follow after Jesus with a lifetime of learning and growing and becoming more like him. But there's another piece that I think that we sometimes miss in this process. And before we can make disciples, we need to be disciples. And that's, to me, I think is probably the most important part of discipleship, is recognizing that, hey, I'm called to make disciples. I say this, we are and we are becoming disciples. So we never stop growing as disciples, as followers of Jesus, or we should never stop growing. None of us is ever gonna like be fully mature, fully arrived, all right, until we stand before Christ one day and then he's gonna finish that work for us. But the most significant part of making disciples isn't about where we go or who we go to. It's about surrendering our hearts and our wills to Jesus. As he said in Luke 9:23, Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me." So if we're not walking with Christ, we don't really have much to pass on to others, right? And here's the cool thing about making disciples, about sharing our faith with others. The reality is Jesus actually wants to do, it's his job to reach people with the gospel. It's his job to draw people to him. It's his job to convince people. Share for like, well, I don't really know what to say, and what if I say it wrong? Jesus is worried about your heart and your relationship with him. And he says this actually in John 15. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So sometimes we feel like, well, I'm supposed to be out there. I'm supposed to be witnessing. And so this is all on me. And Jesus said, what's really on you is to surrender your heart to me, to know me, and then to prepare yourself for every opportunity that I'm going to give you. In fact, the one scripture that comes to mind most for me when I think about sharing my faith with other people is 1 Peter 3:15. And Peter says this. He says, "But in your heart, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have, but do so with gentleness and respect." And so there's three parts there. The first part is in your heart, revere Christ as Lord. And that's what I was just talking about. It's surrendering your heart to God, making sure that he is Lord of your life, understanding what it looks like for you to love him, to follow him. And then always be prepared to give an answer. So people are going to, I think if you follow after Christ or you attempt to follow his teachings, I think people are going to notice. There's going to be things about you that are going to be different than most of the people in the world. And they're going to look at you and they're going to say, well, why don't you do this? It would just be easier if you did this, or more people are doing this way. And then you have an opportunity to say, well, I don't really feel like I'm supposed to do it that way because you're prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have in Christ. And then the last part about that, which I think is paramount, is to do so with gentleness and respect. Because we all know, if you don't know, like the bullhorn guy, if you've ever been like downtown for an event and there's some guy who's sharing the gospel and like you're passing him by and you're just like, I don't know if that's the most effective way of reaching people for Jesus. You know, or people that are on social media trying to argue people into the kingdom of heaven. You're never going to argue somebody into the kingdom of heaven, just so you know. Like leading somebody to Christ is not about winning an argument, okay? But it's about trusting God to change you into the person that he would have you be and learning to love those around you and pointing them towards Christ. And so this kind of flows out of us, I think, in the way that I always used to say this when I was working with students is just three words. That come to mind for me, what the whole process of discipleship. I would sum it up in these three words. The first word is no. The first thing we do is we get to know Jesus. And in order to get to know him, we've got to meet him. But once we meet him, we begin to understand who he is. And Jesus himself said, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." So the point is this: if you want to have life, you need to get to know the source of life, who is Jesus Christ. So that's the very first step. And then we grow in Jesus. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says, just as you have received Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him. In fact, it says it more poetically. Rooted and built up in him, strengthening in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Like the thing that God does inside of you as you learn to trust him is he completely begins to rewire your character, the way that you think about things, the way that you speak. I've always been really goofy in my personality. I don't think God messes with our personality too much. I think he just deals with the important stuff. Because like, I really believe that if you were to look at me from 15, 20 years ago and say, wow, he's much more mature. That's maybe a scary thought. But the reality for me is like, he's not changing like who he created me to be as a person. I'm kind of being able to embrace that a little bit more because he's changing the things about me that that aren't right, that don't look like him. And changing my wiring in that way as I trust in him. And so I think about that overflowing with thankfulness. Like that's definitely if you find yourself being somebody who is more grateful for the blessings that you have in your life than you used to be, that's part of God's work inside of you. And then the last thing is we know him, we grow in him, and then we go with him. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, although God as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Well, today we're going to get a glimpse, a beautiful glimpse, I think, of what that journey looks like firsthand. We are commissioning a couple from our church who are following the call that God has put on their life. We are sending a young woman to go and serve overseas, and we are baptizing a new believer. And next week we'll baptize another new believer, and we are also baptizing someone that's saying, "Yeah, like I wanna follow Jesus, and I want this to be my proclamation." And this is all part of that commissioning that Jesus gave us in this one passage, in the last words he gave to us. So, before we get to some of that, I'm gonna ask Matt and Heather Conlon if they would come up and join us. And I forgot to grab that handheld. So Josh, if you could bring that up to me, that would be great. So come on up, guys. I want to introduce you. Some of you, many of you in this room know Matt and Heather. Some of you probably don't. You might want to meet them today because you're running out of chances to get to know them. Thanks. So Matt and Heather, you guys have been here for how long you said?
About 6 years.
6 years. Yeah. And I'll say more about Matt and Heather in a few minutes, but I wanted to just kind of turn this over to you guys and let you share with a little bit with New Hope about what God is doing in your life. So,
okay. Yeah, so we started coming to New Hope 6 years ago. Pretty much right when we started getting involved was when COVID hit. And so that was kind of an interesting start to our, a new community. But it just seems like we've been through so much these past 6 years. We just love this church. And if you know me, last year I was studying to get my master's from Liberty University, from their School of Divinity. And so I graduated in August with a master's in educational ministries. So my heart has always been for education and teaching. Thank you. Thank you. And literally the last... we had a lot of discussions, which I loved the online discussions. They'd ask us prompts and we had to respond. And literally the last discussion of my whole master's program was something pertaining to being a pastor in a church. And my response was, I will never be a pastor in a church. And then I gave like the reasons why. And and literally 8 hours later, because that was normal, I was up to like 2 a.m. finishing work for classes. I met with Matt and about to talk about groups ministry here at New Hope. And one of the first things he said when he sat down was, have you ever considered becoming a pastor? And I was like, I just wrote a post about how I was never going to be a pastor. So, but I've learned over the years, and I don't know, I still haven't learned completely that when you say never, right? She's like, he doesn't listen. He's a husband. Over the years, when I've said never to God, he opens up the door to that never that I said I wasn't going to do. I said I was never going to work with middle schoolers. And then my boss came to me years ago and said, I want you to work with middle schoolers. And I ended up loving it. And then I said, I'm never going to work with elderly people. And then a position opened up. Someone was like, I want you to work around these elderly people. And so I still haven't learned completely that, you know, God is going to open that door when I say never, because he's like, you want to bet? Because I'm preparing you for that. And something I've always wrestled with God, if you know me, I'm very honest about my battle with anxiety. Like, I have pretty severe anxiety. And so I've always said to God, you know, how can you use me when I have these imperfections? And he says, I'm not asking you to be perfect, Matt. I want you to be open and available. And so that kept on my mind after Matt and I met. And in October, I'm a teacher. In October, one of my students' parents came in and said, hey, Matt, have you ever considered being a family pastor? And I was like, yeah, kind of. Like, you know, and I was like, well, let me think about it. And throughout the fall, I was taking classes with the Christian Missionary Alliance to continue pursuing ministry possibilities. And then in December, I had several different people come from me around the community and offer, you know, say, hey, you should apply for these positions. And I was like, okay, maybe God is leading me in this direction. And then in January, the parent came back in my classroom and said, Matt, this is a definite opening and possibility for you. And so I met with their pastor. And he and I, you know, had several interviews, discussions throughout tax season. My wife, and this is something great, is that where we're moving to, we can still stay and she can do her position. She works in an accounting firm here in Syracuse. But she and I, we have been absent a lot because tax season is insane and I was helping in their office. But the first thing she said to me when I said, hey, you know, I'm going to interview, she's like, Matt, I told you, do not interview during tax season. And I was like, it's not my fault. They asked me. So it was pretty crazy spring of meeting back and forth. And I said to Heather that if she did not want to leave our New Hope community because we love this church. Okay, the first service I cried. I'm going to be able to contain it, I think, right now. I said, I will say no, and we will just stay at New Hope. And it's probably easier for me to move on to a new community than Heather. And so, the fact that she said, you know, yes, we can pursue it. That's what we did. And at the beginning of April, we had a final interview and they offered the Faith Chapel, offered me the position of faith minister, family ministries pastor. And so this is an exciting opportunity where when I was studying for my master's, I was planning workshops and events and activities and curricula related to what I call the family-based model. Because for me, it's very important that I'm not just the one teaching people's children. Like, education is something I'm passionate about. But another thing I thought I wouldn't work with was the parents. But God was like, you know, he's been telling me clearly the past couple of years that children's ministry is not just the children, it's their families. And so I'm excited because this is going to be the opportunity for me to walk alongside parents. You know, like, we don't have children of our own at this point. I'm able to teach. And Deuteronomy 6 was something that just really God kept pouring on my heart, was about instructing children in the ways of the Lord. And I know that not all parents have that gift or skill of teaching, and God has given me that gift. So I want to walk alongside parents and provide resources and encouragement for them and disciple them. As Matt said, I want to disciple parents to disciple their children because parents need God just as much as their children. And I think about my best friend who came, his parents both came to God. They were baptized through him as a middle schooler, and just the power, like, God can use anybody to bring, them to him. And so I'm really excited about this next chapter. And, Heather and I could, you know, we just really appreciate your prayers over us. And as we take this step, and we thank you, Matt, so much for, he's been an amazing mentor to me over the past couple of years, and just really been encouraging. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Matt. I saw firsthand how this worked, because when you came up in the first service, Heather was like, I'm never saying anything. And then you got kind of emotional and she took the mic and covered for you for a little while. So I've decided I'm going to go home today and say, God, I'm never winning the lottery. And, I mean it. And God's probably like,
well, I get 50%. Right.
So. So if you don't know Matt and Heather, like, first of all, I want you to know, like, this is really, really good news. And you can be like, well, why would you say it's good news? It sounds like they're capable people. Why would you say it's good news if they're leaving your church? They are capable people. Some of the ways you may have seen Matt and Heather serve here, Matt and Heather have run one of our life groups, one of our growth groups. On The Chosen, they have a group that's met for 3 years now, or they're in their third year. You may have seen the both of them together serving outside in front of the building, because every year they're the ones that put together those really nice planners. So like when you drive up in the spring and summer, the church actually looks nice because there's colors and there's flowers and everything. And so if you have a green thumb, give me your number. Heather has served on our governing board. She's been our treasurer for the last 2 years, and also she manages our accounts. And then Matt has preached here 2 different times. And what's exciting for me, why I say this is good news, is because they did exactly what we're supposed to do. Like they really modeled this progression really well. They came to be and became a part of a local body of believers. And then they just surrendered to God and said, yeah, we will use our gifting and the way that you've wired us to bless our community here. And they've done that. They've served, even stepping out of their comfort zones in some ways. And when Matt and I met a few months ago, what he was talking about there, when I asked him about being a pastor, in my mind, I thought like Matt would make a really good pastor, and Matt and Heather would make a really good pastoral couple in a small church. Because there is a lot of small churches. I don't know if you know this, but the average-sized church in America is 50 people. About 8 years ago, it used to be closer to 70 people. And you might be like, but what about those huge churches? That basically means that there's a lot of churches smaller than 50 people out there because of the way the averages work. And I thought the thing about some of those communities, they have these people that are good people, they're growing. Maybe they're in a community where they're not going to ever be 100, 200 people or more. But they should still have good leadership, people that care about them. And that's the way I've always seen Matt and Heather. If you know them, you know that they will sit and they will converse with you and love on you and they'll pray for you. And then I gave Matt the opportunity to preach. And he preached. If you were here for his first sermon, the first service, he preached for like 50 minutes.
I said like an hour and a half.
Yeah, right. Well, that was the second service. He got a little more comfortable in the second service. He preached for like an hour and a half. And I gave him very good instructions. I said, Matt, you got to keep it between 30 and 40 minutes because you never see me go over that. And
never.
And so he just modeled what he saw. I feel like that service was necessary because Matt was able to pour out a lot of who he was to people that he trusted in as his church family. And so then I said, okay, well, Matt, I want to have you do this again, but this time I need you to nail it in right around 30 minutes. And he had less slides, and he brought everything together, and he had a message that he thought was important, and he nailed it. He was like right on time. And
28 that, minutes.
Yeah. Wow. No pressure. And so it was really cool to me because it's like, okay, well, he's coachable. He is concerned about what he's saying, but he wants to make sure that he's doing it in a way that people can handle. I just thought like I really felt like in my heart, I wanted them to go and pastor a church in our denomination that we're part of here in New York State. So we'd still be close to them. And then God was doing something else. But here's what's cool about this is they're still going to be local. They're going to be right in Syracuse. And so, like, they're going to move a little bit further away, but they're going to be close enough to maintain relationships, but they've got to build new relationships, and they're going to be close enough to, if we have something going on here, they can stop in and be a part of that, and maybe we can partner with them in other ways. And Matt's going to have an advocate and somebody that he can, you know, when he gets into church politics and is trying to understand how you get along with the senior pastor, because not every pastor is as easy to get along with as me. And he'll have somebody to talk to about that without,
still,
you know,
mess up the floor.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm excited for these guys, and we're going to pray over them, but before we do that, I'm going to actually have somebody else go, so I'm going to steal that from you, and we're going to let you have a seat. And then you'll be back up.
Don't worry. Sorry, I keep doing that.
You do keep doing that. It is your other spiritual gift. Stealing my microphone. All right, so I'm going to ask Kate Gray to come up. Welcome. Kate, why don't you tell us a little bit about what the opportunity that God has put in front of you?
So I will be going on a six-month missions trip to Indonesia in June. I'm going to go with a organization called Envision that's through the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And some of the things that I'll be doing there is basically a lot of relationship building. It's a Muslim country, which means the best way to show them the love and light of Jesus is by building relationships. So things like sports ministry, playing soccer with locals, the orphanage ministry, taking care of the kids and the babies that are there. And then there's also a safe house ministry for middle school girls that you can plug into and just show them love, basically.
And how did you find out about this? What was the process for you deciding, like, this is something that you wanted to be involved in?
So my senior year, my plans after graduation completely fell apart. And I was rapidly approaching graduation. And my youth pastor knew that I had no idea what I was doing. And he asked me if I had ever heard of Envision before, and I said that I didn't. So he told me to look into it, and then I did, and I prayed about it, and it's something that God really put on my heart.
Cool. And as you prepare to go, what is it that you would say, like, what are you hoping to get out of this? What are some things you hope that you walk away from this experience with?
So I grew up in a small private school my whole life, went to church. So I was surrounded by Christian people 24/7. I experienced the Spirit work, but I never experienced it to the extent that I hope to experience it when I'm in Indonesia. And so I just hope to experience the Spirit move and to grow in my faith while I'm there.
Okay. And what's the longest that you've ever been away from home before now?
2 weeks.
2 weeks, 6 months. It should be pretty easy. Well, how well did you guys do with the 2 week thing? Pretty not great. So we're going to be praying for Kate, and we're going to be praying for Dave and Carolyn as well. And what are some ways that we can be, as a church family, what are some ways that we can be supporting you? Like, how can we be praying for you? Is there, what about the is there a financial piece? Well, how much money did you have to raise for this?
I have to raise $8,000.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Great. That's a lot of money. Just tell God I'm never going to win the lottery. God, I'm never going to come up with $8,000.
How close are you?
I think I'm 1,700 away.
Yeah, awesome. That's great. So this is a really neat opportunity, and I just, you know, I'm super, you know, if I can be, as your pastor, if I can be proud of you, like, for stepping out and taking this trip. Our oldest daughter, Annika, went to China for 6 weeks when she got out of high school. And that seemed like a long time to me, 6 weeks. I just kept telling myself, she's just at summer camp. She'll be back next week. And eventually she came back and everything was good. And I'm excited to see what God is, the doors he's going to open for you, the relationships that you're going to build, how he leads you in this experience and what that's going to mean to you down the line. But I'm going to ask the Conlins and our elders to come up and join us here on the stage, because we're going to pray over these folks. And for those of you that are wondering, well, how can we support them? Number one, I would ask you to be praying for both of these families. Matt and Heather are going to, they're walking into a new environment where they're not going to know people. They've got to build new relationships, you know, build new networks, put down roots. They've got to get to know a ministry staff, and they're walking in. People have expectations that you guys can just kind of smoosh together. Pretend like you're having a family portrait done or something. Oh, man. Oh, it's like having kids. And so, you know, we just want to pray for God's favor and for God to go before them. And for Kate, if you, first and foremost, we want you to be praying for her and for this experience. But I would also encourage you, if you're interested in supporting financially, help her to meet the rest of that goal, you can use one of our giving envelopes that's in the seat back in front of you. You can put her name on there, Kate Gray. And if you can't remember her name, just say the girl that's going on the trip. We'd ask you not to put her name on your check, even in the memo box, because if you want that to count towards giving with the IRS, you need to not put her name on there. But if you don't care, if you're just like, I don't care about the IRS, I'm just writing you a check, you can go ahead and do that as well. You can talk to her. Those are opportunities that are available for you in that. And maybe if you're like thinking, that's easy, the money I was going to give to New Hope next week, I'll just give to Kate. I think God would say, no, don't do it that way. Like, I think you need to maybe consider to give above and beyond. And maybe if that's not God, maybe that's me. But either way, we just trust that that God's going to meet the needs that you have. So we're going to pray over them. I'm going to ask Matt, and I'm not going to ask Dave to pray because I know how that'll go. I'm going to ask Matt and Art to pray, and then I'll close this up. So why don't you guys go ahead and pray.
All right, Lord, Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for our New Hope family. Lord, we thank you for Matt and Heather, Lord, for their commitment to you to move on and to listen to the words that you spoke to them to go and to minister to families. Lord, we know that the way that the world is going, Lord, that we have faith in you to know that the work that they're going to do is going to make an impact on the next generation. Lord, we thank you so much for their commitment, Lord, to just honor and glorify you, Lord. We also thank you for Kate, Lord, that she listened to your word, that Pastor Cody said, hey, you know, check this out. And she's like, okay. And she heard you. She heard you say, I want you to go someplace you've never gone. I want you to speak to those who don't know you, to love on them. Lord, we know that Kate loves to spend time with kids. Lord, she loves to play sports. Lord, and you're going to use her talents. We just thank you so much that she is who she is. Lord, that we can partner with Kate and we can partner with the Conlins. Lord, that we can be their sending church. We just thank you so much that they love you so much, that they're willing to do things that others aren't. Lord, let all of us know that we should be listening and doing your call as well.
Heavenly Father, you are the King of the universe. All of us are both your children and your subjects. You have called us to go where we're going and make disciples. We thank you that our church has come together around these people to send them forth to grow families, to grow young people in a foreign land. We pray for the Conlins that you would give them peace in their transition, that they would not lose friends, but make new ones, that you'd give them great success in their new church, and that their work there would bring you much glory and build your kingdom. Yeah. I pray for Kate, that she would have safe travels and safety in a foreign land, that she would learn that there are many ways that your humans live, and that she would give you glory for all that she learns and sees, and that she would help grow your kingdom in Indonesia. We thank you for your providence and your care on us as we live and do what you would have us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, I agree with these prayers, and as we look at your great commission, so thankful that the last thing that you told us was a reminder that you'd be with us always to the very end of the age. And so, Father, we can trust that you will go, not only go before us and come behind us, but that you will be with us. And so as Kate prepares to take off for 6 months, God, I know that you're already going before her and preparing a way for the things that she's going to be doing, preparing hearts for people that she's going to have encounters with and speak to. And God, you will be with her throughout that whole trip, and I thank you for that. I pray for Dave and Carolyn that you would be with them, that you would prepare their hearts, and God, that you would fill that hole that they feel as Kate is gone for 6 months, but they would just lean into you. And God, I know as parents that that they would just see the way that you have blessed them as their children, just have their own desire to follow after you. It's not their parents' faith anymore, but they're seeking you as young adults. And God, I pray for Matt and Heather. And I pray that you would continue the work that you've done in going before them, and that you will go with them into this new ministry, this new chapter of their life. And I pray that they would find favor in the eyes of the people, and that Matt would find favor in the eyes of the senior pastor there and the ministry staff that he's going to work with. And God, that you would be with them in the midst of this, that you would be teaching them new things, and that they would be a blessing to Faith Chapel, that they would bless the community that they are going to live in, and that your kingdom would continue to grow. And God, I thank you for allowing us the opportunity to be a sending church in these two instances, and that would be continue to be the DNA of who we are as New Hope. God, I pray that you would help us to fill the holes that are going to be left from Matt and Heather taking off and the ways that they have served here. And I just trust that you are going to continue to raise up people to serve in areas and to bless you by blessing others. And so, God, we just thank you for your faithfulness and ask that you would continue to go before us as a church and show us how we are to live out your great commission calling here in Baldwinsville and in Central New York. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thanks, guys. Yep. All right, watch out for the microphone. Yeah. We are going to... We're going to have a song together so the team can come up and join Carolyn there. And then if you are getting baptized today, you can come right up onto this front row here and we'll get ready. I'm going to go grab my towels. So.
Slave to All right. So this is a great time of celebration for us. I'm going to introduce you to, first, you guys can have a seat. I'm going to ask Ann and Tyler if you come up. This is Anne Marie. I almost called you by your maiden name, Anne Marie Crosby. And so Tyler is my nephew, and if anybody here last week when I said I made a joke, took that very seriously. My mom was very worried that everybody is going to think I'm the worst pastor ever because I made a joke about Tyler. And our attendance is down a little, so maybe she's right. And this is his wife, Ann. And Ann is a new believer. And Ann, why is it that you want to be baptized today?
When I was 5, I actually got hit by a bus, and I did die. My heart stopped breathing, and I had to be resuscitated. I always thought that I had a purpose, and actually, I was giving the gift of 2 beautiful daughters. So I wanted to help guide them, and I thought the best way for me to do that was to be baptized and to put my faith into God.
Awesome. So I'm counting on you, New Hope family, to come beside me with my extended family and to be a part of the discipleship process for Tyler and Ann as they grow in their relationship with Christ. And so I'm super excited about this. And you share with me your testimony of faith and how you came to faith in Jesus Christ. And because of your testimony in your faith in Jesus Christ, I want to baptize you now in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, next I'm going to invite Stephanie Wallace to join me. Yeah. Woo-hoo.
Yeah, all right. Hi, everybody. thank you guys for allowing me to have the space. I was raised Catholic, so I've been in the water at a very young age and did everything that I was told to do. But as an adult, I didn't really have that experience until I went to Liberty and got my doctorate there. And that connection really fueled me in questioning how I wanted to follow Jesus and God. And it's been tough for a few years. We've been very displaced with our church. So in the few months that we've been here, I felt really connected and called to do this for myself, to really follow Jesus and be the leader in that space, and also for my babies of all ages, so they can see that they can choose it at any age to follow and do this for themselves and not because they're supposed to.
Stephanie, yep, you're okay. Good. Based on your testimony of faith in Jesus Christ and your desire to follow him, I baptize you now in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, who's next? So next week, we are having another baptism for those of you that will be with us in the family service. And if you this week are saying, you know, I've never taken that step of obedience. I've never stepped out and said, I want to let the world know that I'm following Jesus. And beyond that, like in the scriptures, this is the act that identifies us in Christ's death and resurrection. So if you believe that that's an important step, and maybe you're just wrestling with that and you'd like to talk to me about that, I'd love to talk to you about that this week. I'd love to make that happen for you. I'm going to turn it back over to our team, and they're going to, can you close it up?
Yeah.
They're all over the emotional stuff.
What emotional stuff? Let's sing, guys.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It wasn't mine to. Next week, and God bless you as you go.